next on BYUSN. Two more BYU men's basketball players have entered the transfer portal as of yesterday. So what do we make of the updated news? And do we expect any other Cougars to enter the portal? Six transfers expected, four graduating players, and now A.J. DiBonsa as the heavily projected number one pick in the NBA draft. So are we more concerned or excited about the possibilities for BYU's future roster?
Jimmer Fredette joins the show to discuss the latest on BYU and the transfer portal. How's Jimmer feeling about the current state of BYU hoops? And reports are out that BYU basketball will open next season in a neutral site game against a power conference team. Which team is it, and do we like the game?
Any team, anytime, anywhere. As my friends say, except on Sunday at BYU.
Right.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Friday, April 10th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who could be a tour guide for you for just about anything in life, Jason Shepherd.
Yeah, I have not yet myself had the opportunity to go over to the brand new Linden Temple for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for the open house. But you know who did? A.J. DiBonsa.
I love it.
A.J. DiBonsa was at the Linden Temple open house. You see him there with Brian Santiago, with his dad Ace. Elder Razband is there. Vice President Keith Vorkink was there. President Reese. Everybody was over at the Linden Temple. Very cool to see A.J. and Ace being able to walk through that and get an idea of what that looks like.
You know what I love maybe most about it is Ace asked Elder Razband for a personal tour and guide through it to ask questions and learn about it. And with how busy an apostle of the Lord is, he made it happen. And what I understand is he shut the whole thing down. So it was only the DiBonsas and the other folks that you mentioned, Kevin Young and his wife, Brian Santiago and Kim Santiago and Vice President Vorkink and Marcy. And then I'm leaving somebody, Richie Saunders and his wife, Sierra. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens.
Now, that part of the story I did not know.
When you get Elder Razband involved, right?
That is quite the tour.
Amazing. Yeah, so
very cool.
And understandably, a warm reception from BYU fans. It means a lot to everybody that AJ and his dad Ace would make an effort to go and learn more.
That there is interest in learning about it. That's what's cool, that there is an interest to find out what that's all about. Which is what, quite frankly, what the open houses are for. It is for everybody. Anybody can go and look at the open houses and walk inside the temples. It's a really cool experience, and I certainly hope everybody gets a chance. I'm going. I just haven't had a chance to go yet. So I hope everybody that wants to gets a chance to go and check it out.
AJ has referenced his transformational experience at BYU, how BYU has become part of his life. This is just another thing in that as he prepares to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. At least we feel very strongly that that will be the case. Well, he leaves, BYU basketball is now in roster flux, which takes us to Rise and Shout, because there's much to discuss in what's trending. Two more throw their name in the portal.
He has a very clear sense of what he needs. You've got to find players that want to commit to compete.
I think it's a work in progress. BYU is certainly out there looking to add talent to this roster.
This is the reality of college basketball and the world that we're living in right now.
The transfer portal continues to take action through college basketball, and BYU is no exception. Now six players into the portal officially. First, it was Xavion Staten. Then it was, for many of you, surprisingly, Rob Wright III. Then Dom Diamande, Kennard Davis, and as of yesterday, Tyler Maruss and KJ Perry. We've talked about the previous four at some length, but let's discuss the newest two that we have not talked about, at least on the show. First up is the sharpshooter, previously from the University of Idaho, Tyler Maruss. What's your reaction to Tyler entering the portal as the fifth to go in for BYU?
Yeah, it was not a surprise. I think this is one of the players that we expected to probably get in the transfer portal. So the first reaction was that this was somewhat expected. I think the biggest question was, when was he going to get into the portal? Was he going to be one of those players that as soon as the portal opened, he was going to put his name in? It took a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But not surprised.
Tyler Morus was brought in to be a specialized three-point shooter. And I think BYU had all the hopes in the world that he could evolve into a guy that was like he saw what BYU saw when he played at Idaho, when he played a good game. Yeah. I mean, he got on BYU's radar when he played for Idaho and knocked down 4 three-pointers against the Cougars, and they liked his shooting stroke and his footwork. And so it was a late addition last year, and they were hoping that he would be a guy that would be high 30s shooting the three. They could come in and do what Alexi Kostic did late in the season. It just never materialized. And when you are a specialized shooter like that and you're not producing, man, it's just hard not to spiral a little bit mentally. It felt like he never got into his true groove at BYU.
Well, and what's interesting about that, when that is your dominating skill set and the reason that you were brought in, like you said, when the shot's not falling, you know, it can mess with you. And I had a chance to interview him a couple of times and talk with him a couple of times. Great guy. He said, I have never gone through a shooting slump like this my entire career. Like, I'm just not used to this. And that can mess with somebody. Anytime confidence is shaken, it can really mess with things. And so I certainly hope that he can find a good landing place. And look, we know what kind of shooter he is. This year the shot wasn't falling, but we know his body of work, and he'll go somewhere and have a really good career.
Again, BYU hoping that he would be high 30s. It was 29.8% on 14 made three-pointers, 47 attempts. BYU was hoping he'd be a guy that make upwards of like 35 or 40 threes over the course of the season. It just didn't happen and materialize. Right, not a surprise.
Yeah, you mentioned KJ Perry also entering the portal yesterday. What was your reaction to that news?
So I have actually been anticipating that this might happen for a while, knowing what's going on around the program and then seeing some players that KJ is close with on the team also leave and enter the portal, notably Rob Wright III. And for many of you, it's like, wait. I was feeling okay about Rob Wright III leaving because KJ Perry was behind him, the number one rated JUCO prospect at point guard out of Southern California. And it was exciting when he committed to BYU in the early part of November to bring him in. Never got on the floor for the Cougars. But, I mean, I'm just going to paint the picture here. Sometimes the cultural fit at BYU is just not right. And it felt like that was one of those scenarios for BYU with KJ Perry. It's not a lack of basketball acumen or his ability to play, but BYU is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm gathering, this was just not an appropriate cultural fit moving forward. And he's going to have a better experience somewhere else. And BYU can now cut ties and go look for whoever the next point guard will be. Not saying they won't try and court Rob Wright III back, because I'm sure that has happened. But it feels like BYU's in open waters looking for the next point guard.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page in terms of our reaction to it. Because of what you said, BYU, it isn't for everybody. And so ultimately, not really surprised. I know this is, like you said, it's one of those ones outwardly that everybody kind of didn't see coming. But yeah, this was not one that I was shocked by.
All right, 6 BYU players, as we have mentioned. We labeled them all a moment ago, now in the portal. Now, Jason, do you feel like it's over? Nobody else is going in the portal for BYU men's hoops. It's these 6 and nobody else. Have you reached that point?
Well, I think it would be foolish to say that it would never happen, but I'm at the point now where I do not believe there will be any more. Anything beyond this, I think, would catch me by surprise.
There aren't many left that could enter the portal.
Right. So, like, I think we're at the point now where the players that I thought would get in the portal are in the portal. So anything beyond that to me would be, oh, okay, maybe raise an eyebrow or so. I am not anticipating anything. But again, you can never say never. You never know what can happen in terms of opportunities for guys. Or maybe a lack of opportunity that materializes with BYU. And so you come to a mutual agreement that maybe it's time to move on. But right now, it looks like the rest of BYU in the transfer portal will be in the addition phase.
There are only six returning players still on the current makeup of the team. They are Nate Pickens, Dawson Baker, Brody Kozlowski, Hadeem Boop, Alexei Kostic, and Beto Ahmed. So what we're really asking is, do we think that any of those six are likely to leave? And based on what I saw, especially late in the season, from Alexei Kostic and Hadeem Boop, and their buy-in to the team and them finding their spots, no way do I think either of those guys want to hop in.
Yeah.
Hadeem's got his own cheering section at BYU. He's got his own social media accounts.
Kostic really enjoys being at BYU. I've talked to him about it. He really enjoys it being here.
I believe Brody Kozlowski wants to play on the court consistently for BYU. He has worked through a myriad of injuries, predominantly in his foot. He's finally going to be healthy. So why would you not just stay here, give it a go, and see what happens at BYU when there is opportunity for a player like Brody as a stretch four? He can shoot it. He's a guy that can post up in the corner
he's
on the baseline.
He's got the size and the bulk,
shoot,
but can
and
shoot
he can
it.
Shoot the three. Dawson Baker, we all hope that he is able to return from just a terrible knee injury, but what we're hearing is the recovery process is going well, and BYU has shown genuine interest in bringing him back if he can get healthy. Then there's Nate Pickens. He's a guy like Brody Kozlowski. He didn't even get a chance to play. Like, BYU wanted him to be one of their defensive specialists, wanted him to be the backup point guard. BYU needs a backup point guard. Nate Pickens, this is his final year. He's going to graduate. So he's got one more go. He's been around the program. This is his opportunity to shine in the Big 12 at a Power 4 level. And then Beto Ahmed took his lumps, and people were super frustrated. But he's a guy that entered midseason and was trying to learn on the fly, interested to see what he could do with a full offseason of coaching, understanding the defense, and trying to improve. And BYU has, there's no size on the roster other than Hadeem Boop and Beto Ahmed. Like, can you afford to let a 6'10 G League guy go with the hopes that maybe he could develop with a full offseason?
Well, and the other part about Beto specifically is knowing that one of the focuses in terms of player acquisition is going to be bigs, and not only size, but size with offensive ability, size, and I mean this scoring ability around the rim, but also being able to stretch that defense out. A lot of the murmuring, we like that word, murmuring, about Beto was that, you know, the offense just wasn't there. Well, if you bring in guys like I think they want to do, you don't need Beto to be an offensive player. In fact, he told me during the season, he's like, I'm here to play defense. I wasn't brought in here to play offense. And we saw what he can do defensively. When he first got here and the first couple of games he played, he was a blocking machine. That first game against Kansas State, what he blocked? Three or four shots?
Yeah, immediate impact.
Immediate impact. So you don't necessarily, not to say that he can't develop something offensively and give you something occasionally, but I don't know if that's what they need out of him, especially if you're bringing other guys in that can fill that role.
BYU's got to have some depth, especially in the size category. He is that. Let's give it a full offseason. Again, like, hard to judge when he is like mid-year enrollee and it's essentially like a half-season type deal.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, we just painted the picture. I don't think any of those six are going to get into the portal. I would be surprised if any one of those six names entered the portal. Like, something drastic would have to have happened for them to like enter their name at this juncture.
Let's bring on the additions.
Speaking of, there is at least one player who is heavily rumored to be potentially headed to Provo and transferring to play for the Cougars. In fact, said player, we can't say his name at this point, NCAA rules are in play on this program. He did post on Instagram that he will be leaving his previous school. He is a previous BYU commit. He thanked his previous coach and then said, essentially, he's excited to be, quote unquote, coming home. What do you make of this coming home statement, Jason?
I make that he's excited to come home.
He's from the Beehive State.
He's from Utah. I think if you're going to choose a team in Utah that is your home and you're going from an SEC school, there's not many other options to go to. Look.
I see what you're doing there,
yes,
Jason.
Yes. Yankees, ace. No. Yes, exactly. I think we're all just sort of waiting. for all this to fall into place. There are enough reports out there about said player and his intentions and where he would like to go. So we're just kind of letting this all play out.
It's got essentially a 100% crystal ball projection from 24/7 Sports that he will land at BYU, and the majority of the portal watchers and reputable sources have also joined their voices collectively to saying that it is going to happen, that this player, Richie Saunders-like type player, who shot 41% from the three-point line last year for his SEC team, will indeed end up playing for Kevin Young. It's got to be official before we can talk about him, but I know a lot of fans are excited about that prospect, which helps everyone feel better about BYU's limited roster makeup as it stands now. Our question of the day, speaking of, with that expected roster turnover of six transfers leaving, four players graduating, and A.J. DiBonta as the projected number one pick in the NBA draft, what gif best describes how all of you are feeling about BYU basketball's future? At Audrey, P73851721. Audrey, got to change your Twitter handle. Says, quote, it's Harrison Ford. Yeah,
from Star Wars.
From Star Wars Episode 4. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
How are you? Boring conversation anyway. Luke, we're about to have company.
Takes his blaster to the board. One of my favorite scenes in all of Star Wars.
Yes.
Filmmaking. Response 2 from at Rowdy and the Rock. Will Smith gif leaving his empty home.
Just walking around on that
in
that
Beverly
rug.
Hills.
Bel Air.
Dawson Baker and Brody Kozlowski playing the role of Will Smith. It's an empty house.
Just looking around. Nobody else here.
At Adam R. Frank says, another Will Smith gif. It is what it is. You talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
It's college basketball now.
This is reality now. This is what we've all signed up for.
I want you to read this fourth one.
This one coming in from at BYU Swag. Let's see if it pays off for him.
It's a bold strategy,
Bold
Cotton.
Strategy, Cotton.
I'm glad we went with the GIF option.
Yeah, today. This is good. This is good.
Well done. Well done to all of you. It's time to pick up the tempo as we get into the hurry-up drill. Bold strategy.
It's a bold strategy. Let's hurry it up. College basketball reporter Rocco Miller reported yesterday that BYU and Ohio State, I will not say the, although I just did, will meet in next season's opener on Monday, November 2nd at the Delta Center. What do you think of a second straight neutral site opener against a power conference team?
I love it. It's relevant. It's close by. It is neutral for BYU, but it's still somewhat home. And what happened the last time BYU hosted a Big Ten team at the Delta Center, Jason?
I believe it was a win.
A 28-point win against an eventual 5 seed in Wisconsin. I liked that then. I like this matchup now.
Yeah, I think it's great. I love the fact that it's going to be reportedly at the Delta Center. And that is a home court for BYU. And look, Ohio State will travel. There's no question. They've got fans everywhere. But I like this matchup.
Relevant early in the season. Jason, you are the esteemed radio voice of BYU women's basketball. Brayden Gunlock of the team entered the portal yesterday, making her the second in the portal, joining Mariah Hudgens. So those two, are you expecting any more women's basketball players to enter the portal, or is that it?
I am not expecting any more to enter the transfer portal. It's obviously sad to see Brayden and Mariah go, but I think it speaks pretty highly of Lee Kamard, his staff, and the program that in a crazy world of transfers, right now I only anticipate there being the two. And I can tell you that they are 100% focused on the portal right now, bringing players in. In fact, I was told they are eyebrows deep into the portaling.
Wow.
So they are excited about the opportunities to go out and bring some talent into this roster with those spots.
We know they need an elite big.
Yep.
Yeah, we know it.
Yep.
So eyebrows deep into the elite bigs for sure. How many wins did BYU women's basketball have? Remind people again.
26.
26. Why would the 26. Of course they want to stay.
Yeah, they're in a good spot. Yep.
Final question in the hurry up drill. Jason, based on what happened in your personal life last night, one of the top five moments in your life, maybe.
Maybe.
Are you preparing to be a Zamboni driver for an NHL squad? And is it on the Zamath?
What a night. I got invited to ride the Zamath, which is a retrofitted Zamboni from the 2002 Winter Olympics to make it look like a mammoth. And I got to ride it around, which was awesome. I highly recommend anybody, if you get the opportunity, say yes.
Tusks up, my
tusks
friend.
Tusks up, everybody. Tusks up. We're going to the playoffs.
Ship the Zamboni driver.
There we go. All right, BYU baseball will look to build off last night's win at Houston in game two tonight. Coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern time on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
When we return, the great Jimmer Fredette joins the show to break down his thoughts on the chaos of the transfer portal in college basketball. How would he fix it? And what does he see for BYU's future, especially at the point guard position? This is BYU Sports Nation. But you have to understand the current state of collegiate athletics. BYU still features Dawson Baker, Alexi Kosha, Hadeem Boop, and you have Abdullah Ahmed.
You're adding something to the fabric of this team and what it means to represent BYU.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton along with Jason Shepard. Earlier today, we had a chance to speak with one of the greats. In fact, his jersey is now hanging in the rafters of the Marriott Center. Jimmer Fredette on the show to discuss the transfer portal chaos, how he would change it, and what does BYU need to do at their point guard position to find success. Jimmer is on BYUSN. Jimmer, we survived another March Madness, but now in college basketball, it's all about the April portal madness. So how are you viewing the season after the season right now in the entirety of college hoops?
Let me tell you something. I think that the portal has been at least good for college basketball in the sense that it continues to stay relevant during this time of the year, right? Like, I think that that's actually a positive. You think about it in the NBA sense of free agency. People love free agency. They love to see what happens. They love to see the storylines, you know, whether there's drama or not like that. I think that that is actually good for college basketball because it's staying relevant. People are talking about it. And whether you like the portal or not, it is definitely something that's in the news. And it's pretty crazy. I mean, obviously, more than half of the country is in the portal. That's just how it works. And, you know, guys are looking for their next spot or they're leveraging their own team to get back and get more money from their own team, whatever it is. I don't blame the players for doing it. I understand everything around it. But this is free agency. So the teams, the coaches, they're all in. They're looking at who they can bring in. They're looking at their budgets. They're negotiating. They're doing all the things that basically a professional basketball team would be doing, and they have their board and they're ready to go. So it's interesting time, and I think people actually, whether you like the portal or not, are interested in it.
Specifically, as it relates to BYU, the Cougars have six players who have entered the portal. What have you made of what's been going on with BYU in terms of the guys jumping in?
Yeah, it's not surprising to me. Like I said, I think it's just kind of the new day and age. I think that, you know, especially how the season kind of ended, that's just kind of how it works, right? It didn't end exactly the way that BYU wanted it to. I'm sure there were guys that were saying, hey, I think I could play more, or I want to test the waters and see if I could get more money or just leverage it, like I said, against BYU. So I think that there's all of that going on. So it doesn't surprise me at all. It's just the new age. And whether it's the player that wants them to do it or the agent that wants them to do it, someone is telling them this is in their best interest. And it's not just unique to BYU. Everyone has guys that are in the portal that are, you know, and some teams have very few players on their roster at this point. You just have to understand that. That's the way the sport works now. And I know that the coaches are prepared. It's not like this snuck up on them. This is definitely something they're prepared for, and they're looking for the new guys or trying to retain these guys.
Jimmer Fredette is back on BYU Sports Nation. Jimmer, Rob Wright III is the clear headliner of the six portal entrants for BYU men's basketball. He leaves a notable void. There aren't Jimmer Fredettes out there for BYU to just go and pick up, but there are some high-level point guards. So if indeed Rob Wright III does end up leaving BYU and does not return, which it feels like is going to happen, where would you go in the search for a point guard and the specific skill set associated with a point guard that could succeed in this system under Kevin Young?
Yeah, no, I think it's one of those things where it depends on who you want to build your team around, right? Like last year, clearly, the team was supposed to be built around AJ. And I think, to be honest with you, when you're building a team around a guy like an AJ, or this year a Bruce Brown, Bruce Branch, or someone along those lines, a point guard that actually sets the table a little bit more and is more defensive oriented and kind of is like, hey, let's get the right guys in the right position. I can a really good outside shooter, but maybe not a kind of more of a pass first guard, is probably someone that I would be looking for right now. If you're going to have a guy like Rob Wright, who's such a great scorer, I feel like you would be building your team around Rob, because that's what he does best. He's not a guy that's really setting the table for other guys. And that's not to his fault. That's just his game, right? So I'm thinking, when you have a guy like a Bruce, you know, maybe some other guys that they may be able to bring in that they want to be the scorers, I would think that you would want a point guard that's just tough, leads the team, is a guy that's steady, obviously, low turnover guy that can shoot the ball and get a bucket when he needs to. That's kind of what I think Coach Young may be looking for at this point, because he has some really talented players coming back and coming in, you know, to the program. And I'm sure he has other guys that he's thinking of that will be coming into the program that can score the basketball and can shoot the basketball. So you're looking for a guy that I think can distribute really well.
You know, coming into the offseason, I don't think any of us would have said that the top priority is going to be a point guard. I know we heard Coach Young talk about shooting and you know, getting help down low and getting bigs. But now with the news that Rob Wright is going into the portal, is point guard the biggest need in the offseason, or would you go in a different direction?
Man, it's like a 1A, 1B situation, in my opinion, because I think you really need size as well, because, you know, look who won the championship, right? The two teams that were in it were huge, and they could score inside, and they could rebound, and they could defend, and they were tough. But then if you also look at it, they also had a really, really good point guard. So I think it's one and two, right? You have a guy that's steering the ship, that's kind of getting everyone involved, knows how to, you know, get down the floor. And they were veteran guys that could make baskets and score, but they don't necessarily have to be your leading scorer, kind of like what I was talking about. But they were tough. They knew what they were doing, but then they complemented that with size as well. And then ultimately you need shooting as well. So those three things are all pretty equally important when you're building a team, right? But when you're looking at success in the NCAA tournament, generally speaking, you have a really good lead guard that's a veteran that knows what they're doing, that can calm the ship when things go bad. And I think that that's obviously a super, super important thing. So I'd say 1A, 1B for point guard and size.
Jimmer, I'm going to read you the six names for BYU basketball that, as of April 10th, are still part of this current BYU basketball roster. And I want you to tell me, of this six, which is the most important piece that BYU could retain? We'll start with Nate Pickens, your backup point guard last year that didn't play. Dawson Baker, clear bench player and bench presence that was unfortunately injured early. Then you have Brody Kozlowski, Hadeem Boop, Alexi Kostic, and Beto Ahmed. So of those guys, who is the most important that BYU could and should retain?
In my opinion, I think it's Dawson, if he can come back and play and he's healthy. He's a guy that's been there and done it, and he's played in big games before. He'll be a veteran guy, and he's going to be a team guy. He's going to be a BYU guy, and he can score the basketball, right? He's a guy that's the perfect guy to be able to come off the bench and be able to get you 10 to 15 points a game if he needs to. But he's also just a steady ship. He's out there. He knows how to play. He understands the system. He's been around now. He would be around for 3 years. And that's important when you have new guys coming in, building a culture to understand how BYU does it and how Coach Young does it. So I think he would probably be the most important person. And then I would say Alexi's probably next, because I think Alexi's actually a good player. And I think with more time and more confidence in playing more, I think he could actually be really good, because he can shoot the ball. He's pretty big. He can handle it. European guard. He understands how to play. I think that he would be next on my list there.
You know, at the beginning of the conversation, you were talking about big picture NIL and the transfer portal and kind of how it's gone so far. Do you believe it needs to be fixed? And then the follow-up to that was, if you do, then what would you do to fix it? Do you have any ideas on what you would do to fix NIL, transfer portal, all that stuff?
Yeah, Spence and I have talked about this at length. And I think, you know, for me, the biggest thing, I think the number one fix that we could would put in there is being able to have contracts that have buyouts in them. And I think that that is a huge deal, because when you're a smaller program, you're basically almost a feeder program for some of the blue bloods now in some of these bigger programs, because they have these kids that they find that are diamonds in the rough. They play extremely well. They give them limited money because they have limited budgets. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, I'm going to, you know, a Kentucky or a BYU or a North Carolina or whoever it is afterwards, because of the fact that they can, and they're going to get offered a lot of money. Now, if those schools, those smaller schools, put in the contract like, hey, we want you for, you know, maybe they say it's a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal or whatever it is, or maybe it's a 1-year deal. But the only way that you can leave is that there's a buyout clause that you either have to give back money, or the school that is going to get you has to pay money back to us. And that would make it so that the player would be like, man, you know, it's harder to transfer at that point if you have to give back money. And if they do transfer now, at least that school would be able to recoup some of that money so that they can invest in the next player and they're not just out and about. So I think that that would be something that I would do. It's kind of like the European model that you see over in soccer and in basketball, where they do have buyout clauses a lot of times. Usually they're 1 to 2 year deals over in Europe. They're not long contracts, so they're dealing with free agency a lot. You see a lot of movement, but they do have those clauses. And then everything kind of just regulates themselves. Like, some of the players are like, man, it's not worth it giving back $500K or $300,000 of whatever it was, unless they're going to get paid a lot more at that next school. Then maybe it does make sense, and then they're able to recoup that money and invest it into that next person. I think that's a thing that I would do specifically, just to try to regulate the process as much as we could.
Jimmer Fredette is on BYU Sports Nation. And listen, my friend, I know you got a C in your accounting class twice at BYU, but that's some solid money 100%. Logic right there. That's solid money logic.
Listen, I am a very common sense person. Okay. I may not be a book smart guy. Okay. I may not be over here reading Mark Twain all the time, but I know some common sense, and that just made sense to me. Right.
Let's Jimmer, that was an A answer. I will tell you that right now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Speaking of A and a tier A player, BYU's AJ DeBonta is now in large part the heavy favorite to go number one overall in the approaching NBA draft. That would surprise nobody at this juncture, but because you have been through it, at least in part, the NBA draft buildup and going into the lottery, Jimmer, would you paint the picture for what AJ is going to see for us over the next 2 months leading up to the draft?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was getting ready for the draft, I remember I brought my uncle out here, who was out to Utah, who was my trainer, and he's been my trainer forever, Lee Taft. And I brought him out here for 2 months. And I brought another trainer. His name was Miles Simon at the time. He played at Arizona. He was kind of a trainer. And I brought those two guys in. And literally, there was a new workout facility over with a smaller company called Vivint that all of a sudden became huge. But at the time, they had a basketball court that they just built. And it was brand new. And they're like, all right, I want you to go over there. Or can I use it? And they said, yes. So I was in that gym for 2 months by myself, doing two-a-days with my Uncle Lee and Miles Simon to get prepared and ready to go for my workouts. I was going to the combine. So that played a part in as well, to like get my footwork and, you know, the bench press and all the things that you need when you go to the combine to get prepared for that. And then also just work on a ton of skill work. And AJ is going to do something similar. Obviously, he may not go to the combine or test or anything like that, but he is going to go to these teams and work out for some of the, you know, top five pro teams that are in the in the draft or who you think could be in the draft, and he's going to show well. He's going to be preparing mentally, physically. He's going to get on a weightlifting program. He's going to get on a speed and conditioning program. He's going to be in the gym, and he's going to be doing two-a-days mostly for the next 2 months to get prepared for these things and get himself ready for that, obviously, that NBA draft, when I think he's going to be picked number one for whoever it is that's going to be picked. But yeah, a lot of training, and it's not just physical. It's going to be mental training as well. And I'm sure he'll be doing some video shoots and stuff like that, and commercials and things that, you know, getting prepared and ready to go for, you know, his NIL deals for the NBA. But he'll be busy in the gym getting prepared.
Great stuff, Jimmer. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. We'll get you back on soon as we get closer to the draft to discuss AJ's prospects and more from Richie Saunders. But for the time being, you continue on with your elite common sense, bro.
I absolutely will. Go Masters Week. We got a Tusk Up shirt. We got a Masters shirt. Man, Spencer's broke after his Masters, after going to the Masters and getting as much gear as he has. It's unbelievable.
Lack of money logic in that moment. Thanks, Jimmer.
Thanks, Jimmer.
All right, guys. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
It's true. All right, I have no money.
Yeah. You're wearing it all right now. BYU softball will look to make it 2 in a row against Houston tonight in game 2 of that series. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Up next, an update on the transfer portal and multiple sources reporting that BYU basketball is going to take on which Power 4 team next season? Headlines up next on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
The show rolls on from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Let's roll out those headlines sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere. Shep, take it away.
It's what everybody's talking about, the transfer portal. BYU basketball's Tyler Morus and KJ Perry have entered the transfer portal. That makes 6 BYU basketball players now in the portal.
Speaking of, on the women's side, Braden Gunlock of BYU Women's Hoops has entered the portal as of yesterday. Gunlock joins Mariah Hudgens as the only women's hoops players currently portaling.
BYU baseball defeated Houston on the road last night by a final of 3-2. The Cougs play the Cougs in game 2 of that series tonight, 7:30 Eastern time, with coverage on BYU Radio with Greg Rubel and on ESPN+.
Cougs with a U versus Cougs with an O, right?
That's right.
Okay, BYU softball wins their own series opener against the Houston Cougars last night, 13-10 in an offensive shootout. BYU will try and clinch that series against Houston tonight at 8 Eastern, also on ESPN+.
Number 10 men's volleyball welcomes number 5 USC to the Smithfield House with a 2-game series. Tonight's game will be on Big Ten Plus at 9 Eastern.
27th-ranked BYU women's tennis lost to Arizona State, but will close out their regular season at home tomorrow against number 29 Arizona. And number 72 men's tennis heads to Salt Lake on Saturday to take on Utah in their final match of the regular season. Speaking of tennis, after the break, we welcome in BYU stars Gracie Levelston and Kendall Kovac to preview that regular season finale and discuss their recent rise in the ranks. Before we go to break, we need to honor longtime BYU administrator of women's athletics, former women's gymnastics coach, and first ballot Hall of Fame inductee Lou Wallace, who passed away at the age of 93 on Easter Sunday. In 39 years of service to BYU athletics, Wallace was a monumental pioneer in building a BYU women's athletics program that has become one of the most dominant and best in the country today. We send our love to the Wallace family at this time. We'll be back. Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B. It is time to welcome in a dynamic duo of tennis players from the BYU women's side, Gracie Levelston and Kendall Kovac, now in Studio B. Welcome and congratulations thus far on a fantastic season.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
The regular season finale, hard to believe, is upon us against a good Arizona squad, but BYU in its own right has risen up the ranks. So question for both of you, but Kendall, we'll start with you. To what do you attribute the step into that elite top 30 level for BYU women's tennis?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of reflecting on my last 3 years here, when I came into the program, you know, weren't really expecting too much. And my first year we make nationals. And I think just as the years have gone on, we've just really buckled down, and we're very focused on our team culture and how we, you know, are connected together as girls on the team and with our coaches. And I think that that is something very unique and special about our team. And, you know, maybe on paper we're not the most talented or have the best rankings individually, but I think our culture and how we bond together is really what pushes us over the line for a lot of these 4-3 matches, big ranking matches, just things like that.
Gracie, what would you add to that in your own unique perspective of why BYU is making the significant rise?
I mean, I would say all the same exact things, but also would add on just our support staff, like our coaches, our trainers. We have a really amazing trainer, Amberly, who's been able to keep us all healthy because we really only have 7 right now. We don't even have a full roster.
Wow.
And yes. So to be within the top 30 with not a full roster, I think means, you know, keeping everybody healthy and, you know, in the right mindset. And then having coaches that, you know, really take our losses and make it a learning process. You know, after our first match of the season, we lost to USD, and then we won like the next 10 or 11 matches in a row.
Oh, we noticed.
Yes. So, you know, we definitely bounced back from that one. And I feel like our loss to Arizona State is going to be the same exact way, just learning more and like bringing us closer together.
Gracie, I'll start with you. What's Big 12 tennis like? Give everybody an idea of the competition level and what you see in this conference.
It is so intense. I mean, half of the girls that play in the top positions are professional prospects, or they're already playing professional tournaments at the same time as being in college. And so it's just ultra competitive. Like, I feel like more and more the conversation is coming up of, you know, is college tennis kind of morphing into pro tennis?
You both transferred to BYU. So let's dive into the mentality of that and the logistics that go into that in a day and age of collegiate athletics that is just wild. It is crazy how fast things change. So Gracie, we'll start with you. Why did you feel like, okay, BYU is the landing spot for me, and why did you flourish here?
So when I first looked to transfer, or like when I was in the portal looking at schools, I had 3 big things I was looking for. Somewhere where I really wanted to live and like settle down, an environment that I liked, good team culture and really good support staff, good coaching, you know, good medical staff, good resources. And I felt like I had 2 options, and BYU was one of them, and that checked all of those boxes, but BYU just felt right. And I felt so at home here. And Holly, our head coach, she is so passionate. She cares so much.
Shout out to Coach Hassler.
She's so competitive. And she also was a top 100 player. And so I think for me, it was really important having a coach that's been where you want to be. Like, they know all the intricacies of it. They know what you have to do to get there. And I just felt like we had a really great bond. And I loved the girls when I came on my visit.
Kendall, you're a good player. Why BYU?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty similar to Gracie and even some of the other transfers that we've had. I was looking for a fresh start, and I was looking for a lot better culture, a lot better connection to the girls and my coaches compared to what I had before. And BYU just fit. And not being a member of the church, I was a little bit kind of on edge with that. But when I came on my visit and, you know, just kind of found that I connected so well with a lot of the girls on the team, the coaches, and even the support staff. And I think, you know, can't get much better than Provo. I mean, I'm looking at like the background right here, and it's just, it's crazy. And I think it's just a really fun, happy, nice place to be. And I think it's been one of the best decisions of my life.
Well, and Kendall, it's senior day for you. How emotional are you, or is that to be? Is that yet to come? Are you pushing those feelings?
Do you want to cry today?
I've been pretty busy this morning, so honestly, I haven't thought about it. But I try to really be kind of live in the moment, you know, one thing at a time. And I feel like this whole year, and then particularly like going into season in January, you know, knowing that this day would eventually come. It's been a lot of emotions just throughout the whole season, but I think that it's also been a really fun journey. And I think tomorrow will be emotional, but it will be very kind of bittersweet, you know, leaving this chapter behind, but also knowing everything that I've accomplished and everything that I've been able to do with tennis and even just in college in general. So I hope tomorrow will be more of a joyous celebration. And, you know, we have a lot of other things to look forward to, like the conference tournament and then hopefully getting a bid to NCAAs. And, you know, tomorrow, you know, hopefully won't be my last match wearing the Y and
let's go.
Things like that. So I'm just excited for those future things in the next couple of weeks. And then we're later going on our foreign trip. So I'll still be around for a little bit. Hey. So yeah, tomorrow's just kind of that hopefully big celebration of my career and what I've been able to do.
What is the foreign trip this year?
We're going to Austria, Germany, and Switzerland.
Oh,
yeah.
So. I'm not jealous at all.
we're pretty excited. I think
that is
it'll
awesome.
Be really fun. Yeah.
That's good cool. for you.
Yeah. So we'll be leaving May 15th. So in about a month.
If you need a reporter to cover it, Spencer is volunteering
right
now.
We're bringing a lot of people. So you might be able to just squeeze right in. You never know.
Hey,
so.
Brian.
Can you fit into a
Yeah, Brian. Brian's coming. So, Brian. Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be a party.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Gracie, we've heard the word celebration from Kendall a few times today. Tomorrow is a celebration for you on multiple fronts. Not only is it the regular season finale and you played so well and you get to go out there with Kendall for the match against Arizona, but you're also getting baptized as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. What does that decision and tomorrow mean to you?
I mean, I think Kendall's, you know, trying not to cry about her senior day, but like I almost started tearing up when she was talking, and now I'm gonna tear up. I mean, it means the world to me. I feel like in coming to BYU, I've just been able to flourish spiritually, and I think it's just everything coming to a point. When I first came to BYU, I tried to, you know, keep my mind as open as possible for about the first 2 months and like not make any judgments and like not try to have, you know, my own opinion of the church and talk to members, learn from them, like just kind of learn more about who they are as people and you know, what the church means to them. And I felt like that was really crucial for me. And I continued to go to sacrament meeting and I loved it. I tried to go to other churches. I didn't love it as much. And I just felt really at home at sacrament. And I felt like it gave me the perfect renewal for the next week. And, you know, just growing closer to the Savior, I felt like the church was the best way to do that. And started the missionary conversations and now here we are. And my mom flew out. She's super,
wow.
Yeah, she's super supportive. And just to have that community is, I mean, it's everything.
Well said. Congratulations.
Yes,
again
congratulations.
Of note, my daughter, Sailor, is also getting baptized tomorrow. She'll be very excited that she has the same day as you.
I'm excited the same day as her.
Yes.
Congratulations
Thank
to
you.
Both of you on all of your success. Can't wait to watch against Arizona. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Up next on BYU Sports Nation, we wrap up the show with more of your responses in GIF form about your feelings on BYU basketball's future. You have gotten super creative and we love it. Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of BYU Sports Nation with a note on BYU football.
Absolutely. BYU football's home game against Iowa State has been moved from Saturday, October 10th to Friday, October 9th.
Friday football!
As announced by the Big 12 this morning.
Well, naturally, we need to give you an update from the Masters. Former BYU golf standout and 2003 Masters champion Mike Weir is currently one over on his round through 18 holes today, playing much better today. He sits at 10 overall, I believe, tied for 86th. Our question of the day, with the expected major roster turnover for BYU basketball, 6 transfers, 4 graduates, AJ DeBonta going into the draft, what gift best describes how all of you are feeling about the future of BYU basketball? Our elite voice of the day presented by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory. Jason, take it away from @BrownJer4.
Believe. I think we all know where this comes from.
Come on. Come
there
on,
we go.
Ted Lasso shout
Ted Lasso
out.
In the house.
Today's Rise and shout out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about good luck to BYU women's rugby playing in the national championship tomorrow.
Let's get it done.
Go get it.
Club sports for the win. Go get that natty. Our thanks to today's guests, Jimmer Fredette, Gracie Levelson, and Kendall Kovic.
All of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For the great Jason Shepherd, Tusks up!
Tusks up!
I am Spencer Linton. Have a great weekend, everyone. Go Cougs!